You're listening to How To 20-Something, the only podcast that helps both men and women navigate their 20s and learn how to adult across all aspects of their lives. We're going to be focusing on career, relationships, finances, fitness, nutrition, and all of the common challenges and obstacles a typical 20-something will face in this post-college life and what to do about it. I'm your host, Jess Diamond, and I am the CEO and founder of Jess Diamond Coaching, where I help young professionals get their shit together, gain their confidence, and own their life. No one prepares you for this adulting world, so allow me to help you feel like you are no longer a chicken running around with its head cut off, and that you actually know what the hell is going on and what your next step to take is. Welcome to How To 20-Something. Welcome back to How To 20-Something. Today's episode dives into my first passion, which is fitness, and the different types that exist out there, so that by the end of this episode, you'll be able to choose the best tool based on the goals you have for yourself, or really any combination of tools that you can use. And along the way, I'll be sharing my transformative approach to exercise, what I have my clients do, what I personally do now, and what you shouldn't do if you want to lose fat. This is one juicy topic that I love talking about because it debunks everything you ever knew or thought about in regards to using exercise to help you get the body you want. And I know this because I used to have the knowledge you currently possess, the one that the media does a really good, and by good I mean absolutely terrible, job exposing you to. I'm also going to be talking about strength training versus cardio and how to even get started with regular movement in your life. And of course, if by the end of this episode you're thinking, man, I need to start weightlifting because that's my hopes for you, but I don't know where to begin, then you can still access my free how-to weightlifting guide that's linked in the show notes. And it is filled with explanations and pictures and workouts and YouTube links, just everything that you're going to need to get started in the gym. Or you can schedule a call with me, as workout programming is part of the work that you get to do with me one-on-one. We create a workout regimen for you to follow based off of where you're at right now and what you say you want to have. So let's start with shifting your view of exercise before we even start all of the explanations. Exercise is a tool. It is not the end-all, be-all fix to getting you healthy, or sculpted, or jacked, or defined, or cut, or insert whatever phrase you please. It aids in what you want, but it's your nutrition that carries over the bulk of it. Today's episode is about your exercise. Since exercise is important for you to be able to really continue having a functioning body as you age, and supports your health in so many different ways. Right now, being in your 20s, you don't really suffer the negative effects of not exercising, but with each passing year, you slowly start declining, and then you'll reach the point of a decrepit old person in your 70s who can't get off the toilet on their own. I'm sure you want your body to support you in whatever it is you want to be able to do, like travel, or play with your future kids or even grandkids, or have really good sex, and then not to mention that you'll look great doing all of those things. Exercise is a form of self-care. So if you are not regularly exercising, you are not taking care of yourself. It's that plain and simple. However, your relationship to exercise is also very important when it comes to its effectiveness as a tool, because you can use it and abuse it, which I briefly mentioned in Creating a Healthy Foundation episode, and I'm going to elaborate a little more, but I will be doing a whole episode on overtraining in the very near future. So you're going to want to get to a place where you can do the least amount of work to elicit the most amount of change, where you don't need to do cardio for hours on end or block out 2 hours of your day every day and hammer your body, which you shouldn't be doing to begin with. This is where weightlifting becomes the most useful tool, because eventually you get to a point where you only need 1/7 of the effort to keep the current work you've created. That, of course, is after years of consistency and progressive overload. The main reason why I really wanted to create this episode, though, is because there are so many misconstrued views on exercise, and I want to set the record straight for you and help you make an educated decision as to what is going to suit you the best based on what you're after. I find that there are two main types of people. There's those who don't exercise enough and those that exercise too much. Of course, there's always going to be that middle ground, which I can say I've happily grown into. But for those that don't have this information or this awareness to their body, you fall into one of those two categories. I used to fall into the too much category, and I'll even admit I sometimes accidentally fall back into that category time and time again. But I used to abuse exercise badly. So if you're like me and suffer with body dysmorphia, then you probably have the mindset that you need to burn off everything you eat that's unhealthy, or honestly, anything you eat in general, and that if you don't work out, you're going to gain weight right away. I hope me saying that grabbed your attention, because this is something the media portrays with the calories in versus calories out bullshit. I kid you not, I would eat a cupcake and then go for a mile run to essentially delete eating the cupcake. Mind you, I was in 7th grade when I was doing this, and I was already in like the 1% tile for height and weight. I mean, honestly, if I'm remembering correctly, the doctor started making dots below the charts because I was so small for my height and weight. Meaning I could afford to eat that cupcake. But I'm telling you this story because that relationship only got more extreme as I got older and my fear of getting fat grew. I thought I was being healthy, when in reality, I was abusing my body with excessive and obsessive exercise. I had an unhealthy relationship to working out. And when you're young, your body can handle that type of abuse. You're a lot more resilient, so you don't suffer the adverse effects of overtraining. But as I was saying, my relationship to my body and exercise only got worse, especially as I entered college, and then as I got more addicted to the results I was seeing once I got into weightlifting. So at first, I was a cardio junkie. I would go for runs, be on the elliptical, jump to the Stairmaster, run stadiums. I wanted to burn calories and work up a sweat solely to prevent myself from gaining the freshman 15. And also because I really didn't have a lot of knowledge of strength training and the benefits it provides. But up until college, I was consistently playing different sports that were naturally keeping me fit and active. And once you graduate, you kind of have to figure it out on your own. Not to mention that your body is changing, you're eating worse, you're drinking so much more, and you have zero routine because your schedule is a lot more free. And free time creates a lot more chaos due to the lack of structure put in place. High school was easy in the fact that your schedule was made for you. You had to be at school for a certain time. Then your coach told you when and where practice or games were and what you were doing during that time. Then you come home and dinner is there waiting for you. You didn't have to think about shit. It was all laid out for you. Then you enter college, and if you weren't one of the athletes, everything becomes a free-for-all. Then post-college brings you back to that similar high school schedule, only now it's on you to think about what you're going to do after work or before work, and for all of your meals. Mom and dad are no longer there to guide you through it all, or essentially make these decisions for you. Actually, as I'm creating this episode, I was having this exact conversation with a potential client, so if you're listening, you know who you are. Know that this was made prior to our conversation, but it was released probably about, a month and a half after the fact. Anyways, because of my relationship to exercise, I never had an issue missing a workout, which is honestly an issue in and of itself. And what was frustrating was I felt like I was still gaining a little belly, even with my daily hour of intense cardio. It really wasn't until after I broke my foot playing soccer my senior year of college and had to start regaining strength in my leg through physical therapy did I start to see the results I always wanted. Only instead of cardio, it was through lifting weights. By this point, I was close to graduating college. I had no job lined up and was planning on staying in my apartment until my lease was up at the end of July. I had so much time on my hands that I would walk 3 miles to the gym on the other side of campus, lift weights for an hour to an hour and a half, and walk home. And the whole ordeal would take about 5 hours because I was young. My body was able to handle all of that, and I could easily ignore the side effects that I was doing way too much. Once I got a job and began working, my activity levels were severely cut down, But I did start to include 20 minutes of HIIT, which is high intensity interval training, to the end of my lifts. Fast forward to the pandemic, and I was right back to my 5-hour workout days. I looked great. My skin was terrible, my nutrition was terrible, and my relationship to my body was straight up abusive, but I was chasing skinny. And that is a dangerous game of chase to play. Which is hard because people will tell you how great you look, only encouraging these behaviors even more. Because they don't know everything you're doing to get to that level, and not to mention the part that it is entirely unsustainable. So while you may see results right at the beginning, over time your body is going to rebel back and you'll start to experience adverse effects. This happens to so many people who start working out by taking classes or picking up running and instantly start losing weight, so they think it's working, when what's really happening is you're moving more. And that initial increase will be received by your body as it works to adapt what you're telling it to do, which is burn calories and sweat. Or what happens if, say, you switch from SoulCycle to F45 to Pilates is you're introducing a new stimulus to your body. So of course, it's going to respond until it adapts. Over time, as your body adapts to what you're telling it to do, your weight loss or results in general will start slowing down until you plateau. And then honestly, what I've seen happen is you start going backwards. That is, if you don't have your nutrition in check as well. But what's also happening is, even though you're losing weight, you're not putting on good muscle or feeding that muscle. So you are slowing your metabolism down. And if anything, you're losing muscle. So the weight loss you see is not the weight loss you want. So while you look smaller and weigh less, you're also more flabby. And I know you don't want that look either. This doesn't mean you shouldn't do cardio or take group fitness classes, because they do have their benefits. Just not long-term physique benefits. So here's what cardio and group fitness classes are good for. Cardio is good for heart health and endurance. The reason why I group cardio and group fitness classes together is because they are both forms of cardio. I don't care if you tell me, no, but Jess, there are resistance days. Because here's the thing. If you have no control over the rest period, then you are not resistance training. You are doing cardio with weights. Is cardio with weights better than just cardio when it comes to body recomposition? Yes. But lifting weights on your own with rest periods between 1 and 5 minutes will always be superior to your fitness class that has a resistance day. Yes, I am an F45 trainer. It doesn't mean I agree with using F45 as your primary source of fitness. I work there for the community, and honestly, because it's a pretty easy job from a trainer's perspective. But it's generalized, and you're not going to get the one-on-one attention you probably need for your unique body and needs. And that goes for any group fitness class. It's better than nothing, and it gives you direction with what to do for your workout, but it's not the best thing you can be doing for yourself if you have aesthetic goals. If you just have health goals, then power to you. Keep on keeping on. So if you're someone who just wants to work up a sweat, who wants to get their heart rate up, who likes to run races like 10Ks, half or full marathons, or Spartan races, and anything of the sort, if your job requires you to have good endurance, say if you're a firefighter, if you play a sport or enjoy playing sports, if you genuinely enjoy your source of cardio, or if you are looking to feel heart healthy, then cardio is for you. However, if you have physique goals, then I'm sorry to tell you this, but cardio alone will not support that. Cardio will give you the skinny fat appearance. This is because cardio sends a certain stress signal to your body that it needs to be able to move quickly. You see, we have an outdated system in a modern day world. This is something I've mentioned more than once on this podcast and will continue to repeat. But what that means in regards to exercise is that your body doesn't understand that you're running for your health. Simply because we evolved from a time when we were running, it was life or death. So your body is still sending that same message to get rid of your muscle so you can become more efficient at getting away, meaning you're in danger. So in other words, surviving. So that now you can run faster since the muscle isn't weighing you down. Your body doesn't register that you decided to hop on a treadmill for 45 minutes and that no one is chasing you trying to murder you. The other thing that's happening internally is your body's natural adaptation process. Meaning, your body will become really good at conserving the amount of calories burned so that you can survive this stressful period of your life. Or in other words, you could run the same 1 mile loop and at first you'll burn a set amount of calories. Then when you go do it again the next day, it's going to be a little less. The day after that, even a little less, and so on and so forth. Because at the end of the day, your body and your brain want to keep you alive. So it's going to do everything in its power to do so. Meaning it's going to burn less to conserve more. Regardless of what your watch is telling you. Because your watch isn't accurate. So having cardio as your sole source of exercise, whether that be cycling, running, group fitness, HIIT, and anything of the sort, is your ticket to flabby land. And I know no one wants to be flabby. For my ladies who want to be sculpted in tone, and for my men who want to be ripped and shredded and cut, cardio will take that possibility away from you. Now, maybe you're thinking, but Jess, I know this person, so-and-so, and all they do is cardio, and they look amazing, so it works for them. Why can't it work for me? To which I will respond with, your genetics, your habits, and your nutrition also play a role in your physique. It's why there is an individual variance to everything. And it's also why you should work with a trainer or a coach who can cater to your individual needs. Like I said, group classes are generalized. Kind of like how my group workshops and this podcast are generalized. But working with me one-on-one is catered specifically to you, your life, your needs, and your desires. I said at the beginning of this episode that exercise is a tool. So I want you to think of cardio as a heart health tool, and resistance training, where you're in control of the rest periods, is a metabolism boosting tool, which I will get into right now. But I don't want to totally deter you away from something that you enjoy. So if you are someone who will either do cardio or not work out at all, then yes, by all means, do cardio. But I would also encourage you to give strength training a try, at least once a week. In fact, it will actually help your cardio performance because your joints and bones will be stronger to handle the repetitive force you're putting on them. Kind of in the same way that cardio will help you out if you're feeling gassed by the end of your workout. So on that topic, let's switch to the benefits of resistance training. This was something I was personally skeptical about since I was afraid of becoming too bulky. But after dedicating the last 3-4 years of my life to primarily strength train, I can confidently say that I have never felt better in my body and able to eat so much food with no change on the scale. It doesn't mean I don't do cardio. I love playing soccer or ultimate frisbee on Sundays, and every now and then going for a run or taking a group fitness class. But most of my workouts are strength focused and consistent with the same programming I follow for about 4 to 6 weeks at a time. Right now, I'm lifting weights 3 days a week, doing cardio once and doing yoga once, and then the other two are active recovery days because I get a lot of steps in through the work that I do. But back to strength training. Strength training is playing the long game, but the benefits are incredible. You can use a few different forms to create the resistance that strength training provides because there's bands, suspension trainers, your own body weight, and then actual weights. But resistance training is really any form of exercise that challenges your plane of motion using various muscle groups and tempos. Using actual weights will have the best benefit because you can continue to increase the weights, which will aid in building muscle and giving you that defined, sculpted look. But that doesn't mean workouts only using bands or suspension trainers or your body are not effective, because that's where you can add in the tempo. You can always add in tempo when you're using actual weights, but doing tempo, adding in holds, lowering your body down for a certain count, and then back up for a certain count, those are all different forms of adding more of a challenge to when you're limited with supplies, so when you don't have access to weights. But let's dive into the specific benefits that you see, feel, and experience from consistent strength training. To begin, Building muscle will lower your body fat percentage because that percentage is your body's ratio of lean mass to fat mass. And by utilizing this workout tool, you're putting on more lean mass, thereby changing the ratio of lean to fat mass. So even if the scale doesn't change, your body fat percentage is changing. Or another thing, if the scale goes up, but it's because you only put on more muscle, let's say if you're in a surplus, that is also changing your body fat percentage, like, to a lower number. Muscle also speeds up your metabolism because muscle takes a lot of energy on your body to maintain. And if you're sending the I need muscle on my body signal to your body, then it's going to respond to try its hardest to preserve what you're building since it believes you need muscles, again, for survival, which is bringing it back once again to that caveman times. We needed muscle when we were settling down somewhere and building our homes. Your body does not care about aesthetics. It cares about functionality. It's you who cares about aesthetics, which is perfectly understandable given the society we live in today with social media and lots of mirrors. The way it's increasing your metabolism is because of the energy it takes to preserve the muscles. And what else is measured in energy? Calories. So you are burning more calories at rest due to your body working to keep up with the muscle you are requesting to be there. Yes, there's EPOC with cardio, and EPOC is really the energy you burn as your body cools itself down and repairs itself. But I want to compare the two. With cardio, your EPOC is roughly about 30 to 60 minutes post-workout as your heart rate calms, you stop sweating, and you return to a normal state. With strength training, your EPOC can be anywhere from 24 to 48 hours after you lift weights because it's repairing the muscle strands that you essentially ripped, in a good way, as you lifted weights. Resistance training also gives your body shape. One important thing to note is that you cannot spot reduce fat, but you can spot build muscle. So you can target certain muscle groups that help a body insecurity you may have. There's also a slower backtrack time or body regression that takes place when you consistently strength train. And then, say, you go on a trip or get sick or get injured, your body won't lose the muscle it built right away. There was a study done in 2012 on endurance athletes versus strength athletes, and it showed that endurance athletes saw a decline in performance after just a few days off, and up to a 25% reduction in performance after a 3 to 4 week break. Where skeletal muscle stayed about the same because our bodies are good at maintaining overall strength. This is so helpful if you've ever gone on a trip and feel like a blubbery fish by the end of it. I know that's what would happen to me when I was a cardio junkie, and I felt like I lost all of my progress, and now my body remains unfazed when I have a trip booked on my calendar. Weight training also strengthens your bones and joints, which is what I mentioned earlier if you love your cardio, but especially as you age, and especially as you reach menopause and afterwards for my ladies. I know this is a podcast for 20-somethings, but build the base now so you don't suffer the repercussions as you age. Speaking of which, resistance training is so good for balancing your hormones and blood sugar levels. In regards to your hormones, lifting weights releases testosterone, which we all need. It's a growth hormone that both men and women need and will improve your mood, energy levels, and sex drive. The insulin resistance it provides is because of the demands building muscle puts on your body. So it uptakes more energy and glucose from the foods you're eating. Glucose is sugar. Sugar spikes insulin. Okay, little explanation. I'm not the pro when it comes to all of that, but that's the general gist of it all. Some other benefits include confidence in your appearance, improved posture, fixes imbalances between the left and right side of your body, and the feeling of independence because you can lift heavy things and don't need assistance carrying in your groceries or placing your luggage in the overhead bin on a plane. You'll have less back pain because of the improved posture too, and you'll age like fine wine. To my ladies listening, you'll bounce back from pregnancy a lot faster because your body is much more resilient when lifting heavy things is your primary source of working out. And you'll experience less negative effects with aging and gravity's effect on that matter. And not to mention, looking good in a bathing suit or looking good naked in general. Now, I'm biased towards resistance training for a reason, but I also know the hesitations for my ladies of feeling intimidated by the gym or the fear of getting too bulky, which hiring a trainer or downloading my free resource will help with the intimidation because you'll have a plan and know what you're doing and you won't get too bulky unless you're on steroids. Oh, and to add, soreness and sweat are not good indicators of a good workout. You can have an effective workout and not drop 1 ounce of sweat, and soreness is actually a sign that you did too much and need to lift less weights the next time until your body can build the strength to keep up with the weights. I can't remember if I've explained this on a past episode, but I'm going to try and explain the use of soreness in exercise to you using an analogy of applying sunscreen. Let's say it's the middle of winter and you decide to take a trip to the Bahamas. What are you going to do before you go out onto the beach? Apply sunscreen. That applying sunscreen translates to properly warming up your body for a workout. Not jumping on a treadmill, but using a mobility routine that is in that workout guide I have provided for you. Now, what happens if you are out in the sun for too long? Again, rhetorical question. The answer is you'll get a sunburn. That sunburn is your soreness. What happens when you have a sunburn and go back out in the sun? It hurts like hell and will get worse. The same thing happens when you're sore and go back and work out the next day. You need to take a rest day like you would stay out of the sun until your burn has healed. A little burn that fades into a tan the next day is the exact level of soreness we're looking for. It's when you move in a certain way and you just barely feel the muscles you worked, almost like you have to search for the soreness. Not it hurts just to get out of bed or off of your office chair. And over time, going back to the sun, you won't get burnt every time you go outside, unless you're one of those people who have really fair skin. But that means that every time you work out, especially as you repeat the same workouts you're doing, you're not going to experience soreness every time. And that doesn't mean your workout wasn't effective in building muscle. You're still building muscle and recomping your body. Don't worry. Now, whether it is that you take up cardio, fitness classes, or resistance training, know that anything you choose is better than nothing. This goes for yoga and Pilates and barre as well. They all have massive benefits to your mental health and your body's health in general. The tool you choose is based on your goals, which I'm going to reiterate. So if you like to do races or play sports or want the team aspect in your life from when you were a kid or general heart health and burning calories, then choose cardio. If you want a certain physique, overall strength, a different shape to your body, then choose resistance training. Again, to repeat, not in a group fitness setting, because that is cardio with weights. But also to remind you that too much of any of these things is not going to be a good thing either. Okay? Now let's say you're someone who's listening and you don't work out at all, and you are ready to get started after listening to this incredible episode. Or if you're someone that's resistant to moving your body because it feels like another tedious thing to add to your never-ending to-do list, then start with something that piques your interest. I always have online clients begin with something they enjoy or that they're interested in or that they can do with their significant other, but something that gets the ball rolling. For example, one of my clients loves salsa dancing. So when we were first getting started together, we made sure she was salsa dancing once a week to invite movement back into her life without it feeling so forced. And then I've also had a husband and wife, and they had 4 kids when I was first starting out as a coach. I had them do dance parties with their kids. I have current clients do dance parties with their kids. So if you're resistant to exercise, as in it feels like the most daunting task to do, then you need to begin with breaking down your belief that exercise has to be some boring, rigid thing. Make it fun. And eventually your relationship to exercise will improve and it will become something you crave for yourself. But you need to do something on a regular basis. And the last thing I want to bring up is the role your fitness watch plays. I already mentioned very briefly that you should not believe everything your watch tells you, like your watch telling you that you burned 800 calories in one workout, because that's a bunch of bullshit. Your watch is severely inaccurate, unless it was the most high-intensity workout you've ever done and left you on the floor gasping for air. Even then, you probably did not burn 800 calories. Use your watch as the tool it is, kind of like how we've been talking about how exercise is a tool for you. Your watch is another tool. Don't be married to the numbers, but use it as a guide to your activity levels on a day-to-day basis. I already mentioned that I have a tendency to overtrain my body, and I have a very active career with personal training, so I actually use my watch as a way to tell me to sit my butt down for the rest of the day because I've already done too much activity. If you have a desk job, don't worry about that. But if you have, say, a nursing job or a construction job or really any blue-collar job, and there's a lot more labor required to your body, then yeah, use the watch to reel you back in so you don't overtrain either. But the bottom line is, exercise is crucial to a happy and healthy life. You need to incorporate it on a regular basis in some way. And if you need help with your time management and your priorities and getting started, please, for the love of God, stop hesitating and reach out to me. I would be honored to be your coach. But hopefully by now, you have a better idea as to what type of exercise is going to be the best one for you to choose based on the goals you are after. I want to thank you for listening to another episode of How To 20-Something. If you liked what you heard, if you had some kind of brain-exploding aha moment, if you're going to start up with exercising because of what you just heard, then please share this episode. Email me what you loved most, post it on social media, send it to a friend that you want to encourage to begin working out regularly. Do something to spread this message. Otherwise, this concludes another episode of How To 20-Something, and I can't wait to be in your headphones again next week with another brand new episode.